Yeah. So many parts of that really impressed me, but one of the things, have they gone? The three of them, their voices rose above the whole choir, right? Wow. Boy, they were committed. I need to move this. Okay, thank you. They were committed. They were committed to the process, and that was beautiful. Thank you. What a great idea. That's creativity at work. So, thank you. Once again, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of the moms who have walked the circuitous journey of motherhood. And for those of you that mothered but did not give birth, whether you are male or female, may I remind us, as quoted by a woman who has mothered many girls and many individuals, Oprah Winfrey, that biology is the least of what makes someone a mother. And so I thought before I got into my message this morning, Dancing with the Divine, that I would share with you some thoughts from second graders about Mother's Day. Okay. So these second graders were asked some questions, and these are the questions and their answers. Why did God make mothers? She's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Now, this next one, why did God make mothers? I hope this is changing somewhat. However, I think it's still very appropriate, mostly to clean the house. Why did God make mothers? To help us out of there when we were getting born. How did God make mothers? He used dirt, just like for the rest of us, but magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. Talk about creativity. God made my mom just the same like he made me. He just used bigger parts. And what ingredients are mothers made of? God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mother? We're related. God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's mom like me. That's important. And lastly, what kind of little girl was your mom? My mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. And I love this one. They say she used to be nice. And lastly, I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. So leave it to the children, right? Oh, as usual when I get up here, I have to blow my nose. Oh, so, as you know, the theme for the month of May is awakening to creativity. And I find it notable that we know that the spirit of life, the presence of God, the divine source of all things is creative, always creating out of itself, always giving and expressing out of itself. And hence, here we are, having a human experience, spiritual beings. And so we know that whenever we're talking about a quality or an attribute that begins first in spirit, in God, that that quality is within us, which makes the song so appropriate, peace. We know that God is peace, and so we know too that as expressions of the divine, that we are peace. That that quality of peace and of love and creativity is inherent in our very being. And that it's the same for all life, all beings, all expressions of life. In fact, as you heard last week, if you were here, when Reverend Kathy spoke about creativity, we know that you and I are part of another term, cosmic intelligence. Every day, science confirms that all matter is coming to be recognized as what is called consciousness. That consciousness is manifesting itself in many different ways, in a myriad of form. That there is really only one life, the life of the spirit, the life of the divine creative source and force that has created us. And that life runs through all. It is that spirit, that principle, that life that connects not only all humanity, but very important to know that it does connect all humanity and to remember that, because so often we feel separate, don't we? And I'm going to be talking about that, a few different ways to dance with the divine and remember our oneness in God. Not only remember it, but make every thought, every choice, and every action a reflection of that knowing. We know that this one life is creative. This is the same thing. This creativity, this one life, is the same thing that people call Lord, God, Christ, or Buddha, Brahman, or Spirit. And Dr. Ernest Holmes, the founder of the science of mind, said that in his discovery and inquiry into all spiritual religions and traditions and cultures, that there is a thread of truth that runs through all religions, whether it be Eastern or West, whether it be Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, and New Thought, which is us, that was born out of Christianity. This cosmic consciousness has its home in you, and it expresses as you. That is a changeless fact. Never changes. What does change is our recognition of it. How aware are we of that? In actuality, daily we are dancing with the universal creative power that desires to show us how connected we are with all life and the beauty of our true essence. There's something special about Mother's Day that reminds us of the beauty of life. The same as Easter and spring. This special time for us to remember that each one of us were born out of God, out of this universal life. That life is whole, complete, and perfect, and so are we. It is that which is peace and love and joy and wholeness. And it is expressing as us according to our belief in it. Belief is the name of the game. And so today, as I talk about the Dancing with the Divine, this title captured my attention because I've always been interested in dance. Formal dance, ballroom dancing, just rocking out, you know, sometimes. Girls and guys getting out on the dance floor and dancing free form, and then ballroom dancing. And as a matter of fact, many years ago, it was a member of the center that I just happened to meet out dancing one night, and we really connected as far as dance partners. And we actually felt that there was something that was happening, that was flowing through both of us, that was enlivening us, that was creative, and we danced really well together. Now, he was a lot further on the journey than I in ballroom dancing. So we started getting together to practice. We went out to places to practice. And when we would get out on the dance floor, aside, of course, everything was a practice, right? Our whole life is a practice. See, there's this correlation between dancing with the divine and the way that we live our life. Because really, in truth, who or what is in charge? We forget, don't we? We forget that there is this one creative power that is in us, through us, and as us, and that it is dancing us. And that life is so much easier when we let go and we let God. Now, along the journey of life in dancing with the divine, there are things that we need to learn. There are steps that we have to learn. And so this dance partner and I would get together and we would practice the steps. But then when we went out there, especially if there were people watching, we just let go. We let go and we let God. We let go into the creative process. And as we let go, having practiced the steps, and in our spiritual lives, we practice steps through prayer and meditation and spending time in silence and connecting with that spirit within us that in the Psalms says, closer than hands and feet, deeper, closer, richer, more intimate than your very breath. And so we learned the steps, and it was really great fun, and we depended upon each other. He was the lead, I was the follow. And as I learned the basic steps and let go and began to follow, I found that the journey of life, the journey of the dance, was so much richer. So today, I want to talk about three things that can help us as we dance with the divine. Now, I must tell you that in the April issue of the Science of Mind magazine, that there is an article that I'm giving credit to called Shall We Dance? By Dr. Dennis Merritt Jones. And three of the things that I want to share with you, I took directly from Dennis's article. Here are the three things. Be willing to create an authentic, intimate relationship on a daily basis with your divinity. Number two, along the journey of life, practice non-judgment. Yeah, somebody, who laughed? Nancy, I was just, that's actually on my paper. So Nancy came up to me before the service, and she said she saw in the paper that I was speaking, and she was so happy to see me back and up here. And she came up to me and she said, I remember years ago, I'll never forget it, that you said that your mind goes to judgment before you even get out of the parking lot. So practice non-judgment. And I'm going to go back and talk about these. And number three, surrender to the divine. Now, being willing to create an authentic, intimate relationship on a daily basis is something that really isn't that hard. Because what I know to be true is that each one of us have gifts and passions and ways of showing up in the world that are unique and special to each one of us. They are things that are so automatic to us that we may not even realize that they're unique and special to others. And it's not about the way we look. It's about the energy. It's about your spirit that emanates through you as you go through life. So I want to share with you a story about my oldest grandson, Mason. And this story relates to dancing with the divine, although he may not agree with that, because one summer when I was visiting him in Sacramento, even though he had a pool at home, the pool that he liked to go to in the community had diving boards that his home pool didn't have. And so I was sitting on the bleachers we had been swimming and running around the park, and he was about 8 years old, and he took me to the side of they had several pools there, to the part of the pool where there was a high dive. So apparently he had been going to the pool and jumping off one of the average to high size diving boards, but there was one that was the highest. And so we sat on the bleachers and he said, Grammy, I really want to go off that high dive. And I said, oh, okay. Now this is and was an authentic part of him. Something that he just really wanted to try, that he really wanted to do. So I sat there and I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. I'm going to be really excited to see this. And so he marched over to the very tall steps, that he had to climb the high dive. It was summer. It was really hot. There were lots of kids. And so I patiently sat there and I watched him climb. Well, he got to the top and the very back part of the board, and he took the long walk out to the edge of the board, and he stopped. And he looked around, and he looked behind him, and he looked down, and he stood there, and I started sweating. Like, oh my gosh. And I could see that he was apprehensive or scared or whatever. And it was only, I'm sure it was no more than 15 or 20 seconds, but it seemed like so long. And he looked down and his head went. And he turned around and he walked back and down the steps. Well, this process that day repeated itself 3 or 4 or 5 times. And every time, to the edge of the diving board, stood there. He wanted to go so bad. The kids were pretty patient behind him, I must say. Now I ask myself, what was that within him that was wanting in that way to dance with the divine? Yes, a sense of adventure, you know, something that he had seen others do and he wanted to see what it was like. But this was a part of him that came out of his authentic, intimate relationship with the spirit of life that he is, that desired to express and create an experience. Now, of course, he wouldn't think that. All he knew was that there was something within him that, you know, was a passion and an impetus that caused him to want to do this. That, in that moment, that was his dance with the divine. You know, sometimes for us as adults, we might find that we have become wallflowers. That just like in the dance hall that we hang in the back, that we don't put ourselves out there and allow spirit, that creative impetus of life that desires to express, we don't put ourselves out there for it to have its way with us. But we know, whether it's by coming to Sunday service, by taking class, by walking in nature, giving ourselves time to reflect, to develop that personal relationship with God, to know that the presence of God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-created, creative. And that just like the oak tree, when the seed is planted, within that seed is everything that is necessary to bring it about. But oh, that judgment. That judgment gets in the way. For me, when I'm learning, I go every week, at least three times a week, to the dance studio. And we're being taught, and we're practicing the steps. But then after the class, the music is put on, and somebody comes over and says, may I have this dance? And you walk out, you're going, is that music, the foxtrot that we just practiced? Or is it the hustle? Or, oh, is it the tango? This is the followers part. I don't know. But we know that something's going to happen. And we wait, and there is a lead. And as the leaders learn their part, then they become more confident. And they know all of the nuances that when we come together, we can just surrender to the divine and let the dance and the music just have its way with us. Huh, John?
That's right.
John's there. And it's an amazing creative experience. Now, from the perspective of the follower in the dance, there's something about surrendering. I mentioned earlier letting go. To fully engage with the divine, We must have a courageous and open heart, and we must be willing to let go of judgment. What is somebody going to think? I bet that my grandson, when he walked to the edge of that diving board, that he was so consumed with the desire to want to jump that he didn't really give a thought to what anybody was thinking. He was absolutely connected with the divine, but that seed within him was not ready. Whether it was his physical body or his capabilities or doubt that was in his own mind, he was not ready to jump. It could be sometimes that is surrendering to the divine, that we wait. And in actuality, the aspect of spirit that is creative is called the holy womb of nature that holds the creative idea and nurtures it and feeds it until it grows and is ready to blossom in its magnificence. Now, I didn't get to see the first jump, but later that summer, he told me. He went to the edge of the board and he jumped. Not dive. He hadn't practiced those steps yet. And in actuality, that wasn't something that apparently was his to do. He just wanted to jump into the water. Are you jumping into the water of your creativity? Are you dancing with the divine? The single goal of dancing with the divine is to experience God's unconditional love for us. The single goal, really, whether we know it or not, is to experience that we are more than we think we are. That there is something creative and expressive and whole and good that always has our back, no matter what we call it. It's only one thing, let's face it. That's what connects us with nature. That's why spending time in nature sometimes can be so spiritually renewing. Can lift us up and open our mind to and our heart to the idea that we are so much more than the limited life we might be living. The instant as adults that we enter into judgment, oh, I can't do that. What would somebody think or say? Oh, that's just really too big. Oh, I don't have time for that. Oh, I'm too old for that. Oh, my funds would never allow that. Don't we come up with excuses? Lots of judgments. Look at all the ways that we limit the creative, divine aspect of life that is moving through us. I shared with our class, the Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, when we were in week two. Deepak Chopra talks about the law of giving and receiving. And he breaks it down to this universal law that every time we give, we are receiving. And every time we receive, whether it's something we give to ourselves or something we accept from someone else, that there's really only one thing happening. We frequently separate, oh, I'm giving. But universally and spiritually and scientifically, we know that every action that we make even a gesture, even a thought, even a smile towards someone else has a ripple effect in the energy of life. And that the act of giving and being who we are and expressing our creativity, that in that very instant we receive. And so he talked about something. He said, you know, you could give a flower to every person you meet. And the first thought I shared with the class that came into my mind was, that's corny. And I heard that. Like, that's corny. I thought, what is that about? That's corny. And the next day, I looked out into my backyard at these five rose bushes that were just going crazy. And so I went out and I took the clippers and I cut a flower. And when I came into class, I had flowers on the table. And I can't tell you, there's not words to express how good that felt. And I looked at the flower, the three flowers that I had cut. One was all closed up. One was kind of medium open. And the other was on its way to, you know, it was in such full bloom that it was on its way to returning back to earth. And every single one of those flowers was so beautiful in its own right. And I asked myself, where in my life, you know, where in different parts of my life do I represent those three flowers? Where am I just beginning to bud? Because what I know is that no matter what our age, no matter what our culture, our station in life, our socioeconomic status, that spirit is always dancing the divine dance through us. And where is it in my life that I'm fully expressing myself? Well, that one was a little bit more difficult. And where am I where I am fully in bloom, getting ready to unfold into the next stage? And I thought, well, you know, that's one of my intentions this year, to embrace chronologically and in every way where I am, to let go of judgment about it. And you know what I'm finding is that as I let go of the judgment about myself, about what's going on in my life and my relationship and my circumstances, that automatically it becomes easier to let go of judging others. That I'm so consumed with the spirit within me and how it is wanting to express and listening to it. As one of my teachers once said, just think about God, Christine. You think you have problems? You think you're limited? Try just thinking about God. Make it a practice. Set a timer for yourself. Say, I'm going to go from this block to that block. Or I'm going to sit down and I'm just going to think about God. Driving is the best way to just think about God and all the God beings that are on the road. You are amazing. To fully engage with the divine, you must have a courageous and open heart and the faith to unconditionally surrender to the need to control the experience, allowing spirit to take the lead, guiding you each step of the way. Can you enter the divine dance without an agenda? Without saying what's going to happen, what you're going to get, when it's going to happen, Can you enter the dance with no agenda other than to learn and enjoy and become like the rose, opening more fully? So dancing with the divine, be willing to create an authentic, intimate relationship on a daily basis with God. No matter what way works for you, authentic and intimate is the goal. Practice non-judgment. First, let go of the judgments of yourself. We know, and I know that we believe in our heart of hearts, that the spirit, the divine, is not limited in any way, shape, or form. So maybe our work is to love ourselves unconditionally more fully, to dance with ourselves with a willingness to practice, to encourage ourselves, to love ourselves, to see more of what is working in our lives than what isn't working. That's actually letting go of the human and then surrendering to the divine. Let go of the agenda. No list, no to-dos. Enjoy life. It's God's life. And so are you. And so it is. Amen.